Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
People started disappearing.
The Guzman just fell out of a helicopter.
Uh-oh, what's going on here?
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC.
Money is very, very dangerous.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm James Reynolds. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In BBC OS Conversations, we bring people together to share their experiences. And this time, conversations from Mexico. The election of a new president, Claudia Sheinbaum, is a moment of history. For the first time, a woman will run the country. Mexicans will tell you that she has an awful lot of work to do. For many, the first priority is simply to feel safe.
We are afraid. We're afraid every day. We're afraid of going out and going out with our children. And I don't anymore don't know who to trust.
Normally on OS Conversations, we bring people together from around the world. And that means, in the most basic way, dialing them up on the phone. But this time, we did it the old-fashioned way. We went to see them in person. So I would like you to join the journey that my colleagues and I made in the run-up to the country's presidential election. We landed firstly in San Diego, right in the south of the United States, next to Mexico. And then we crossed over into Tijuana on the Mexican side. We went to Mexico not just to tell the story of that country, but because the story of Mexico explains the story of the United States, its powerful neighbor. What happens in Mexico, the violence there, the attempts to migrate to the United States affects life in the U.S., and it will affect the U.S. presidential election. Indeed, in recent days, President Biden has introduced an executive order to remove migrants entering the U.S. illegally. We went to see some of those on the Mexican side who want to cross into the States. There are migrant centers in Tijuana not far from the border. I met one of the families who are waiting, a young couple with two daughters, one of them just 5 months old. They come from Zamora, a town in Michoacán, a state in the center of Mexico, an area where there is plenty of violence. The husband explains that he and his wife are trying to leave the country because his wife has had death threats from a cartel. You'll hear the interpreter in our conversation. His name's Pablo. He's my Mexican colleague, a journalist who works in Mexico. We could not have done without him in the trip. And just to explain, you'll hear a reference to a smartphone app called CBP1. This is an official way to put in a claim to enter the U.S. in a legal way.
The cartel told her that if she didn't tell on her uncle, they were going to kill one of her daughters or her husband. So that's why they left 1 month ago. Her uncle, the cartel took him out. They searched on his phone and they found some WhatsApp audio and voice messages that his uncle sent her. And so the cartel thought that she know more than she knows about whatever they are interested in. And she doesn't know a thing. And she says that they started trying to pry that information out of her and that there was no way to convince them that she did know nothing. So they had to leave.
Do you feel safe here?
Pues no, porque hace poquito me acaban de marcar que ya me tenían ubicado y que van a venir por mí.
Yeah, they don't feel really safe. He says that recently he received a call and on the other side of the line there was a voice saying, hey, we know where you are. We're going to go looking for you. So he broke his phone SIM and bought a local one. And if you were wondering why you can buy burner SIMs in convenience stores here in Tijuana, that's the reason.
Where do you want to go to?
a Chicago.
Indiana, Chicago.
Indiana.
Uh-huh. ¿Tienen familia allá?
Mi papá.
Ah, so
they Chicago. Have family on Chicago. They have family on.
Hermano de mi papá al que se llevaron.
When do you think you would get to the United States?
No,
estamos esperando lo de la aplicación.
They're waiting for the appointment on the CBP One app.
On the app, so they're using the app.
I guess it's easier when you have little kids. It's much safer to wait for the app.
And if I can ask, if the app doesn't work, there are other people who consider just simply trying to cross the border, paying. Is that something you think about?
De hecho, habíamos llegado y nos habíamos intentado entregar ahí en el Chaparral.
They haven't tried nothing illegal. They're running out of patience. They're going to wait for the CBP One appointment.
Si yo viniera solo, yo me hubiera aventado, pero en sí estoy aquí por ellas y yo.
He says that if he was here alone, he would have already crossed the border because he feels he can do the walk. But he's here for his wife and his daughters, and he says that he doesn't care if he doesn't get the asylum. He only cares for them, for the wife and the daughters. He wants them to get the asylum, not him.
And if you get to the United States, to Chicago, Indiana, what jobs would you want to do?
Mi papá tiene un negocio. Él vende máquinas. Bueno, no sé bien cómo se llama, pero...
Her dad, he has a green card, so he has a work permit and residence permit. So he has a business, and they are hoping to work with him on his business, which is something that Hispanic families do a lot.
And for your daughter here, playing with the toy, what future would you like for her?
Aparte de que en Zamora hay mucha violencia y no es muy seguro salir a las calles, sales.
They want their daughters to grow in a safe space, both socially and economically, and also in their health. They say that they get sick really often, and they also said that this, because living in Zamora is not safe at all, that there will be shootouts every day, every other day, and young girls are kidnapped every other day too. So that's not a future they would like for their daughters.
More widely, in that family's home country, armed gangs and cartels have made violent crime commonplace in many regions. The recent election provides a stark example of that. One figure suggests that more than 20 people running for office have been killed since September. The real number is likely to be higher. And then there's a Spanish word I'd like to teach you. Desaparecidos. The disappeared. The missing. People who've been abducted by organized crime, but whose bodies are never found. This is an important story to tell about Mexico, about the unending pain caused by a disappearance. So my colleagues and I drove about an hour or so away from Tijuana to hear from brother and sister, Ricardo and Tania, whose family has been devastated by the loss of two other siblings. 6 years ago, one of their elder brothers, Jose Juan, was abducted. He's never been seen again. He is one of the desaparecidos. One of the family sisters, Angela, began to search for him. But in February this year, she was herself shot dead. Tania, one of the surviving siblings then, began by telling me how her older brother disappeared in 2018. And again, you'll hear my colleague Pablo helping with the translation.
Fue en su domicilio. Hasta él se lo llevó. Testigos dicen que una...
She says that his older brother, he was at his own home with his girlfriend and a friend, and a patrol car of the municipal police stopped by and detained them and took them away, and nobody knew about them anymore since then.
And so your younger sister, Angela, began the search for her brother, for your brother. Can you tell me about what she did in that search? How did she spend her days?
Pues empezamos las búsquedas en lugares donde
At the beginning, we started looking for him in searches that he used to go, and certain businesses and houses. And then later on, we started looking for him at places where they have found another disappeared people.
As Angela, your younger sister, carried out that search, were you worried about her own safety?
Claro, porque siempre, pues las personas que se llevan pues a nuestros familiares, pues...
Yes, of course we're worried because, you know, the people that took us are our loved ones. They're not good people. They're not nice people. So they know that when somebody finds a corpse, that's a lead to continue an investigation. That can lead them to jail. So we, the people that are on the search labors, we're continuously worried about our own safety.
So for 5.5 years, your family, including Angela, your sister, searched for your brother, Jose Juan. And taking us to the 8th of February this year, what happened on that day? What can you tell us about that?
Pues yo me di cuenta por una llamada de una empleada de su local.
I first knew about it because somebody that worked on her, on the place she worked, called me, and she has been under threat since November last year. And we were really worried that something could happen, and when I received that call, I feared for the worst. He says that he ran to the place she worked, and when he arrived, it was too late. She was already there.
I'm sorry to have to ask, but I think it's important for our audience to understand. How was she killed?
Fue a las... Primeramente, entró una persona como a las...
It's all because of the CCTV system of the business her sister worked in, that they could see that somebody, female, got into the business at 1:25 in the afternoon, in plain daylight. She got into the shop and contacted her sister. Her sister attended to her. And when this supposed client was leaving, she made a wave towards the street. And that's when black Audi vehicle parked. And from the passenger door, somebody that was fully covered with a baklava and gloves got down and entered the shop and shot. And he has like the presence of spirit and say that luckily he didn't shoot nobody else. But sadly for her sister, that shot killed her.
Pues sí, como dice mi hermano, o sea, cómo nosotros como familia llegamos primero antes que las
autoridades. So she says that she's also impacted by how the police was so slow at attending that call. Being that Angela, she had state protection because of her labor as a searcher, and she had requested that protection. She had what we call a panic button that is supposed to connect directly with the local police. And the people at the place she worked said that she had pushed several times the panic button, and even then the police didn't show up. Notwithstanding that it's a place that is continuously patrolled by the authorities.
Tanya, can you describe to me the effect on your family of the disappearance of one brother and the killing of a sister? What has that done to your family?
Pues pues ahora sí que, como venía mi hermana, ¿no? Insistiendo a las autoridades que cumplieran con sus labores. Y no está con nosotros. No insistir por todo lo que ella luchó por las injusticias de los desaparecidos, por obligar a las autoridades.
Yeah, she says that they feel deeply all the reasons why her sister fought for her life, for the appearance of the missing persons, for the fight for justice from the authorities, and that there's an empty place in their family, and that her sister's sons are motherless, and that she feels deeply dead, and that they feel that it's now their time to keep on fighting for justice.
I wonder if there's a sense that those who are responsible for your sister's killing are being protected by someone.
Sinceramente, nomás, pues sí hay personas que sí he mirado que
trabajan. Yeah, I'm sure they are protecting somebody. The investigation doesn't advance because they are protecting somebody.
Given the fate of two of your siblings, are you both scared about your own safety? Are you under threat?
Sí, pues claro que tememos por nuestra seguridad porque pues nosotros seguimos en la lucha buscando a mi hermano.
Yes, we are afraid. We're afraid every day. We're afraid of going out and going out with our children, our sisters' children. And I don't know who to trust. I distrust even the authorities now.
Ricardo and Tanya there, the siblings of someone who has disappeared and someone who is murdered. I'm James Reynolds, and this is BBC OS Conversations from the BBC World Service.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
What stories would you like to share with your daughter? What does she need to know to help her navigate her life ahead? Dear Daughter is the award-winning podcast from the BBC World Service, full of thoughtful letters of advice, personal stories, and life lessons for daughters everywhere. You can catch up with the whole series now by searching for Dear Daughter wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Dear Daughter.
After our time in the border region of Mexico and the United States, we decided to fly south to Mexico City. And it was astonishing as we were flying into the capital to see just how large it is. It's almost a country on its own. And we arrived in time for election night. We knew that Mexico would elect a woman because the two main candidates were female. And that in itself is a moment of history for Mexico. Again, a second Spanish word I want to teach you in this program, presidenta. That is the female version of the word presidente, which had been used for so many years. Up till now, it had been masculine. Now, presidenta is a feminine word.
I thank as well, because for the first time in 200 years of the Republic, I will become the first female president of Mexico.
Today is a very good day for celebrate the democracy in Mexico. You can see all the people is happy.
It's a big breakthrough in terms of society, cultural, politics, and basically representation.
It's funny, isn't it? When you interview these crowds of supporters, you often go to the loudest people, the ones who are cheering the most. But I did see a cluster of three younger people who weren't saying much. And we thought, well, let's go and see what they have to say. It turns out they were passers-by, not supporters.
It doesn't matter what type of government we have. The life is getting worse, actually, to live right here in Mexico because of the economic issues and all of that, and obviously more crimes.
Can you tell me a bit about your life? What you do?
Yeah, I work currently at a call center, and I'm having a good time, but I have to admit that I live in an area that is pretty dangerous, so like walking through the streets while it's already all night, it's the worst experience, actually. And I think that it's getting more familiar to these places in Mexico to experience things like that, so the situation is getting worse, actually.
I can ask, you're still young, how old are you?
18 years old.
Do you see your future in Mexico or outside Mexico?
I would like to be outside of Mexico because the situation is getting worse.
The significance of this political moment was not lost on the new president. In her victory speech, Claudia Sheinbaum said that this was an achievement not just for her, but for all women. And that's something that we wanted to discuss further. What's it like to be a woman in today's society? So we sat down at a local cafe with two young women. Anna works there serving coffee. But it turns out that's not all she does. She's also a medical student and she hopes to train to become a cardiothoracic surgeon. And Erica, whom we'll hear from first, is a human rights documentary filmmaker.
Well, I think we cannot live with fear, but it's true that every day in Mexico, 10 women are murdered, approximately. So, yeah, we have a big index of sexual violence and harassment on the streets. So we have to continue to do our lives, but still we have to protect each other.
And
Have you been subject to harassment?
Well, yeah, I think every woman you can ask around can share their own stories. So, yeah.
And Anna, you were nodding your head when I asked that question.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I agree. Every woman you ask here in Mexico will have a story about harassment or sexual abuse or even just looks that just feel uncomfortable. You know, men just going around thinking that women are an object. You can feel it anywhere. So whether it's your career or your daily walk through your street, you can know.
So on a practical level, we're here in the center of Mexico. I can see things are quite peaceful around here. It's daylight. The day is beginning. But if we were here in the evening and it was dark and we finished talking, Anna, would you be comfortable walking home on your own in the night in the dark?
No, I certainly will not be. Actually, I've closed this cafe a couple of times and it's been really dark because we close really late. And I can never stay here alone because I will be afraid to just go out alone walking. I normally have my car out here. And if I don't come by car, I will ask for an Uber or maybe my parents picking me up because I just don't feel comfortable walking.
I agree totally with Anna. I think it's also like a class issue. I mean, there's a lot of women who can only use public transportation, and maybe we have the option of using Uber or maybe using a bicycle. I would be safer.
And tell us then, Erica, about some of the films you've made about the topic of femicide, violence against women.
Well, yes, I've been working with different teams the past 10 years, and we've been documenting femicide and the crisis of human rights here in Mexico, and also working with mothers who are seeking for their disappeared sons, families, husbands, etc. So we've been accompanying them in their seek of justice.
Anna, that word presidenta, is that going to take some getting used to?
Well, for sure. Also because I believe that these elections are unique in that matter, just because we had two candidates who were women, and so there was no other way of this going. We should have a female president, and that's good in any ways that matter. I know that there's some speculation about Claudia Sheinbaum and how will she do in this new government, but I think that the fact that she's a woman is really, really good for the country in general and for every woman out there who's wanting to do something about their country. It's also good.
Including you?
Yeah, including me. I mean, I'm a girl who wants to be a doctor. You have to think that there's some difficulties there, like a lot of male power, and it's not very easy, but I hope that this changes things for everyone and that the new president takes into consideration that she's a woman too, so maybe she can do something about the rest of our female people.
And Erica, one of the interesting things is we've been saying this is a new era, the first time Mexico's ever had a female president, but in the way she governs, she's continuity with the previous president, López Obrador. He endorsed her. She might be more of the same, not a new era. What do you think?
Well, I think it's complex because even though it's historical that we have a women president nowadays, also Morena, the party in power, has a big debt behind them with social movements, with, for example, kill journalists, with mothers who are seeking for their disappeared families, with environmentalist activists. I hope they can rise to the challenge.
Sure. And Anna, the medical student, when you go to your next lectures, will you feel different?
I would like to say I hope so, but no, I do agree with Erica. This whole government backing her up that has not necessarily failed on needs as a country. And I would really like to think that she being a woman is enough, but it's just
you have to do a lot more than just being a woman for the country to be better and for you as a government to be better. And that's something that has not happened in at least 6 years. And this is the continuation of those 6 years. So I should just hope that this changes, but I just don't know.
Anna and Erica there, and we're so grateful to them and to all the others we spoke to in Mexico for sharing the stories of their lives with us. I'm James Reynolds. You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
What stories would you like to share with your daughter? What does she need to know to help her navigate her life ahead? Dear Daughter is the award-winning podcast from the BBC World Service, full of thoughtful letters of advice, personal stories, and life lessons for daughters everywhere. You can catch up with the whole series now by searching for Dear Daughter wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Dear Daughter.